Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Charles Schwartz. He is a serial entrepreneur, speaker, and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. Charles, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about this serial entrepreneurship. When did you realize or have that aha moment that you were an entrepreneur?
Unlike most people, there wasn't this aha moment because I was born into it. I was born puh. I couldn't afford the last three letters of poor. So becoming an entrepreneur was something I was forced into because I couldn't get a regular job. My family was very, very poor and I was too young to go get hired because back in the day,
define very, very poor.
We would buy a pizza that was supposed to last for a week. We had candle nights because we did not have the ability to pay the electric bill. So it was really tough. My parents got divorced when I was five and I went with my father and we were just broke from very, very beginning.
And do you feel that that really drove you to be very successful and driven?
Well, regrettably, you know, because of the limbic system of our minds, we're driven by three basic needs. And one of the most powerful one is fear of threat, of survival. And for me, not having money really became this issue for me of not having that ability to protect the people I love. And obviously, as I got older, it became about love and connection and being in service to others. But very initial, it was, yes, if I don't have money, I can't eat. If I can't eat, I can't protect the people I love. So that was a huge driving factor growing up.
Interesting. So talk about this. Is it called CJS Solutions? You've been doing this for 20 plus years. What is that company about?
So CJS Solutions is a parent company. There's been multiple companies underneath. For example, I owned an IT company, which was called Your IT Group. Sold that. That made seven figures. That was great. That was my first real entry into growing a business. And I was doing 30% year over year growth. And that got me into being a kind of a strategist and a partner with other entrepreneurs where I would start coaching them on what to do and what not to do. And a lot of what we had to teach them was contrary to everything that we had been taught in every other aspect of everywhere we've been. This is why I lectured at Yale. It's like, listen, everything you've been taught about entrepreneurship is just wrong. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that point, Charles, because I quit my day job at American Express 20 years ago on Wall Street, and I've had multiple companies. And whenever I meet people that are studying entrepreneurship in school, I don't care if you have a PhD in business, but you, as you know, when you're in the trenches, anyone that's in the trenches for a year can just crush most people that have a PhD. I'm not saying that education is not important, but I find it's almost laughable where I have literally a 20-year-old client a few years back. He was invited to speak at USC, one of the best schools in the world, on marketing, online marketing. And this 20-year-old was at first nervous about what he was going to share, but he literally crushed it because the professor was much older and that textbook is out of date in like a month. And he was literally talking about Facebook ads and pixels. And the professor was like so awed and awed by a 20-year-old young man. Going back to what your experience was, so I'm curious, talk about these contrarian views that you've been in the trenches for so many years and share with us what you feel that what the book tells you in school is definitely not how it is in the real life.
I agree with 100%. I had the exact experience when I was at Yale because I was terrified of like, you know, these are, you hear of Yale and Harvard and all these ones, you think people are going to levitate when you walk in. They're going to be curing cancer because they're bored. You really have this idea. And academia just doesn't work that way. I mean, I've dated in the academia term, you know, I dated one of the professors and she was like, yeah, your teaching is completely different. And some of the big things that you have to understand, what's contrary to these are, and I learned this from Melvin Simon, who is the 64th richest person on the planet. He's the one who taught me this. He goes, that hard work will never save you. And I remember my mind exploded. And he goes, you know, we were eating. And he goes, see our waitress? She goes, our waitress also happens to be the housekeeper. Her husband's the cook and he's also the janitor. The two of them together work more in a month than you will work in a year. Do you make more money than them? I'm like, 100%. He goes, if hard work created massive amounts of income, anyone with a 9-to-5 would be a millionaire. And that's just not the case. Once I realized that it wasn't about working hard, but about working smart and leveraging others' hard work, then it became learning about OPT and OPM. So other people's time and other people's money. And once you learn how to do that and learn human behavior and be able to connect and resonate with people, just like when you spoke, you know, being able to build rapport, which you do instinctively when we first met, having that ability to blow away the hard work is BS. It won't save you. and that your why just doesn't work. And that happened out of spending 8 years working in a hospice, watching people die. I realized that the why wasn't a driving factor in any way.
Did you say you worked at a hospice for 8 years?
I did. I worked in a hospice for 8 years. I ran the IT infrastructure, and we were rolling out something called an EMR, which is electronic medical records system. And this is, God, I'm going to make myself old here, but this was like Windows 2000 machines. So I had to sit in the rooms with the patients doing the updates. So it meant that I was in these rooms for hours talking with patients who are dying. These are terminally ill patients. For your audience who doesn't know what a hospice is, a hospice is different than a hospital. A hospital, you go to get better. A hospice, you're terminal. You're going to die. There's nowhere.
So all the people that go to hospice are there to essentially die.
98% of them.
Got it.
2% are the rare that get out, and they're, you know, for whatever reason, for spirituality or energy or whatever, they pull out of it, but it's very, very rare. So I'm in the room with these individuals for hours at a time. And some of them obviously are too weak to speak, but some of them are just, they want to talk to somebody, and they don't want to be treated like a patient. They just want to talk. And since it was in Boca Raton, one of the richest zip codes on the planet, I got to have really amazing conversations with people who are very high up and very, very elite and very successful without a filter. And that's where my mindset really got pivoted and changed at a fast level.
So it's so fascinating to talk about this, Charles, because obviously business is important, but at the end of the day, I always remind people, because unfortunately, one of the biggest challenges I see when I talk to entrepreneurs or clients or people that are interested in becoming a speaker or a coach or an entrepreneur, they always think they have more time. And in their mind, they're like, oh, I'll do it next year, or next month. I'm like, and when you talk about this hospice, I always say, look, we have only 5 days left for this month and 36 days for the year, and no one is ever guaranteed another one. So for me, I always have that sense of urgency. My grandmother passed away in 1997. I was 23 at the time, and I wrote my own eulogy. But from that point forward, no one can tell me otherwise in terms of my drive or my intensity, because I know why I'm here. We're all going to be gone. But I'm fascinated. Would you mind sharing perhaps a story that you learned? Because it's you're literally facing death every day. So I didn't know this about you, Charles, and I'm fascinated by that, because I would venture to guess that perhaps drives you. So any stories that you can just so crystal in your mind is like, you know what, Christopher, when I spoke to this guy or that gal, it really set things in motion, because you were there for a long time.
I really was. And so there's two of them that stand out. One of them, I was sitting there and I was talking to this individual. He was a CTO or a chief technology officer, and I was in charge of the IT infrastructure at the hospice at the time. And I violated all my non-disclosures, and I shared everything with him. I talked to him for hours because I was like, whatever. He's not telling anybody. And at the end of it, I said, can I ask you a question that might be a little, you know, you're going to die. And he's like, yeah. I go, can I ask you what you regret? And he's like, you know, all the stuff that everybody regrets, because I regret working too hard. I regret not working out. I regret, you know, all the basic junk that everyone talks about. He goes, well, what I regret more than anything else is TV. I was like, TV? Why TV? I love TV. And he goes, I'm a multi-millionaire. He goes, I would give every penny I have for one healthy hour. But how many of those hours did I put my little girls in front of the TV because I didn't want to deal with them? Or I turned on the TV because I didn't want to deal with my wife? Or I sat there and watched men in tights playing with balls for sports? He goes, you know, this was my life. He goes, and he was in this perspective change where I was like, wow, how am I wasting my time? To your point where we think we have extra time. And I've worked with people who are special forces operators, and I would go to lunch with them, we would hang out, and then 24 hours later, they'd be shipped overseas and I'd never see them again because they die. So this idea that you have another month or another day, it's just not real. You know, people got on planes on September 11th and they thought they were coming home. The reality is you don't know when it's up, and God or whatever you want to call it, doesn't negotiate with you. You know, death is, that's probably the biggest lesson that I learned about death being in the hospice is death is a bartender. It comes in and says, okay, that's it. Drinks are over. And everybody's like, no, please one more drink. And they're begging for that second or that, can I make that phone call to that person that I love? Can I share that information, that one more thing? Or, oh, I wanted to go scuba diving or this. Death doesn't care. You're done. You don't get to make that phone call. So one of the biggest lessons I learned at a hospice is every time I had a conversation when I lost my grandmother, which was my best friend, I made sure I had said everything. I miss her every day, but there's nothing I regret not saying to her. And being surrounded by that level of just people being terminally ill and passing away, you realize how finite your time is, and it's the one thing you'll never make more of. I'll always make more money. It's easy. I mean, if, at this point, you understand this. Making money is easy. If you have basic skill sets, it's relatively easy. But no matter how much money you'll make, and Steve Jobs is was the example of this, you can never buy more time, ever.
Yeah, that's a great story, Charles. And I really appreciate you sharing that, especially at such a fitting time. We're one day away from Thanksgiving and we're 36 days from the end of the year with one of the most traumatic years of human history, modern history. Charles, thank you so much for being on our podcast. How can our guests connect and stay in touch with you?
The best way to do it is either on Facebook or Instagram. It's I am Charles Schwartz. You can just go there. We also give away the book for free. There's no upsell. There's no shipping or anything. It's yours. Take it. But yeah, that's the best way to do it. Reach out. I'm a big fan of connecting, just like you are, giving service to others. So if you reach out, want to talk, I am Charles Schwartz is always going to be your best bet on Instagram, and we'll chat.
Awesome. Charles, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.